At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here we go again. This is Address Unknown. It is Mark, and as always, here with my lovely travel companion, Jonica.
Hey, hey.
And today on episode 20, we are going to be chatting about the second week we had spent in India. This episode specifically focusing on the south. Listen in as we discuss the south of India and how it's so very different than the north of India. Let's get into it.
It's not any less complicated.
We are back. Dear, just before we get started, we completed episode number one of India. We're doing two.
Yeah.
What are the takeaways?
I think the north and the south are very different, but both equally as complicated in just very different ways. So I feel like we've ripped the Band-Aid off with the north, so let's get into the south.
Yeah. I think it's just a place that's culturally and religiously so different than anywhere else in the world, which is why people are so confused by it.
I don't even know that I would lump religion into it, because there's plenty of places that are Buddhist and Hindu, and
That does not pose
the insane differences, I think, that you get with India. And I don't mean insane as, like, they're crazy. I just mean, like, the differences are so vast.
Hopefully we can talk through it here and explain.
That's what our goal is.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
All right. So we land first in Kochi, which is in the state of Kerala, down in southwestern India. Raj, who was our driver in the north, who we talked about in episode 19.
Oh, love Raj.
Oh, such an incredible driver.
And human being.
So chill, so laid back. He bought us beers, which was unheard
of.
That's
great.
We knew that he had some big shoes to fill.
It was almost like that we were foreshadowing this, right? We knew there was no way you were going to top Raj. And we told Raj this when he dropped us off. We were like, Raj, we've got a new driver picking us up tomorrow. And
if Jonica's water is not cold, it's not iced when she gets in the car.
A little foreshadowing. My water was never cold.
Murali is our new driver for the south. Met us at the airport with flowers.
He did have flowers. That was very sweet.
But we instantly knew that he would not be getting beers for us on this trip, because Murali was clearly a devout Hindu.
Yes, he had gone to the temple that morning and gotten the blessing on his forehead,
which he considered it consistently did every day.
Every single day
of our trip. Mm-hmm. The new driver, Murali, was a nice guy. Smelled wonderful, like cedar and spices.
Smelled great.
He had some sort of perfume oud that he wore. Mm-hmm. Smelled great. But I think he was also driving with 2 feet. From the airport, we headed to Munnar, which is 5 hours east, heading inland from Kochi. Both of us almost getting car sick the entire time because of Murali's driving. There was a lot of
speed up, hit on the brakes
with nothing in front of you.
Well, it's a manual, right? Like, everyone drives manuals for the most part. And the man just didn't, I was like, is this a new car? We learned later, no, he's had this car for like 10 years. It was like he was driving with 2 feet.
That's what I said.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening to you.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. It's Address Unknown, where I have a small part and Jonica ignores it until she talks.
Okay, keep going.
On our first night that we spent in the mountain town of Munnar in a non-air-conditioned homestay.
Oh, yeah.
The lovely family who was there operated the place were extremely helpful and spoke far and away the most fluent English we have experienced during our time in India.
not even fluent. They didn't even have an accent. Like they,
hands down, the best.
The kids, I would have thought that they were Native American English speakers.
The father, actually, he was happy to sit and talk U.S. politics with us at dinner.
Yes.
And his son demonstrated, like, honestly, better customer service than we've seen in some hotel staff in the United States.
They were lovely children.
That being said, for the amount of time that we had to spend in the homestay / hotel in the middle of nowhere, the temperature was again in the mid-90s every day and the low 90s at night. We could have used a little air conditioner during this time or a mini fridge.
Yeah.
Neither was on offer. If you recall, in, I believe, episode 17, which we recorded from this place in Mooner, Jonica was none too happy by the lack of accommodations.
It was hot. There were dogs fighting outside. You could hear everything because we just had a fan. That was it. It was hot.
That evening, our tour operator had organized a Kalari show for us at a place called the Raga. Kalari is a form of traditional martial arts, which is actually originated in Kerala in the 12th century. Think of this as like the Indian version of like European, like jousting knights or like gladiators in Rome.
With some yoga thrown in.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, its origins go back to the medieval times when there were wars, and this was like training for combat was a requirement. This is where this house all started.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's more of entertainment where men demonstrate impressive amounts of yoga stretching.
Yes, they're so flexible. Like they
doing the splits.
Oh my god, so many, and like head, like foot above the head, like insane.
It involves choreographed fighting with knives and shields in hand. There's sword fights. There's fire dancing. One of the fighters pulled like volunteers from the audience and demonstrated jumping over eight of them, eight adults,
eight people laying down on the ground. It was crazy.
The show culminated in several of the martial artists jumping through flaming hoops. That was like the grand finale. This all takes place in a makeshift arena in sweltering heat with no fans. It's subground. It's like an oval ring with a dirt floor.
I was worried that something was going to catch on fire we were going to die.
There was like, no fire extinguishers.
Burned alive. I looked around and I was like, there's an exit directly behind us. If anything looks like it starts to like smolder, we're running out that way. Like this is not where I'm going down.
The Kalari show was really cool. We had doubts when we got there, but it was really cool.
I was like, this is going to be horrible. I think my favorite part though was there was this child sitting across from us and this kid, his mind was blown. I have never seen the sheer joy and happiness. He was kicking and clapping, and his parents, I have videos of his parents just looking at him, and they were so happy because he was so happy. It was adorable.
It was, it's like a young boy's dream. It's yeah. Like, it's like fighting and fire, and it all takes place in this dirt-filled oval. It's kind of like if you mash up monster trucks and WrestleMania and like added some weapons.
Yeah. That's a good
summation. I was having a great time. Just my inner child was coming out.
I know. It was great.
But it was an early night because the next morning we were heading to Indian tea plantation.
Mm-hmm.
On our first day in Munnar, we started with a trek through one of these plantations.
Well, it was our first full day.
Full day, yes. Yes. I think people may know this already, but India is known for their tea. I drink coffee, so I had no clue. I didn't even know it was on the map for the tea world.
Mm-hmm. Very big.
The origin of the tea in India actually started, at least in Munnar, with the British, who brought the plant to the country from China in the mid-18th century.
Who also are known to like them a spot of tea.
Who else tend to, you know, colonize a lot of places?
That too. Yeah. That too. Mm-hmm.
This was during their 100-year occupation or colonization of India. So since then, the South has expanded operations, which are now actually owned by Indians, no longer by the British, and are one of the world's largest tea exporters.
Mm-hmm.
Our trek took us through acres of the plantation, which rise and fall through several valleys. The tea is harvested regularly due to its excessive rate of growth, which can double in the rainy season. During our hike, we also learned that the laborers who work for the plantations actually now have a decent working environment, albeit this was not always the case. Today, they work an 8-hour day, 6 days a week. They are paid for the weight of what they harvest. They are given 2 weeks paid vacation a year. They have medical coverage from their local hospital, and their children are given free childcare and early education. Not for everyone. The industry does offer better employment conditions than other forms of agricultural work in South India. It was a beautiful hike in a lush green tea fields which we've never experienced before.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was absolutely stunning. It was like comparable to the rice fields, right, in Vietnam and Bali. It was, you know, very different, but equally as cool and unique and just naturally stunning.
We were the only ones there.
We were the only ones there.
Aside from there was one group of workers in a far-off valley that we saw. That's it.
Yep.
After returning from our hike mid-morning, we relaxed at the air-conditionless homestay before visiting a much-talked-about spice plantation. This was not what we expected. Shocker for India. We knew that India was renowned for its spices, but we were so excited to learn all about these foreign and not-so-foreign spices that we're used to having in our food. I was looking forward to this. I think Jonica was too. We were pretty fired up.
I like to cook, so I was like, sweet, I'm going to learn about where all these things come from.
Yeah, I thought
how they're grown, how they're processed.
Exactly. I thought we were going to learn about how curry powder was made or how cardamom and anise are grown.
Yeah, turmeric, like all of these things that you think of when you think of Indian food. I was like, awesome.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to learn when the cinnamon harvest is done from like the tree and they're going to pull the bark.
Yep.
To our surprise, that's not really what was on offer at the Munnar Spice Plantation. We started the trip by loading into the back of a pickup truck with benches and a canopy in the flatbed. We then drove for all of 5 minutes down a steep hill where we started our trek through the much landscaped plantation.
It's not a plantation.
It's not a plantation at all. It's like a concrete walkway that goes through.
It's one plant per thing that they talk about.
The plantation, in quotes here, consisted mostly of plants and tree species that are grown to produce Ayurvedic medicines and not so much spices for cooking. It became clear that the spice plantation's focus was on the medical benefits of Ayurvedic treatments, which are huge in India, but are not yet mega popular in the Western world. If you've heard of ashwagandha, turmeric, or gotu kola, these are herbs that are used in Ayurvedic medicine, which is believed to fight off everything from diabetes to hair loss, heart disease to unwanted body weight, and even certain cancers. We learned a lot about the practice. We also learned once the tour is over and you drive the truck back up the hill for 5 minutes, there is a homeopathic medicine clinic at the exit of this plantation where certified doctors will provide medical advice using these same very herbs that we had learned about while in the plantation, the tree-derived supplements, which we saw during our tour.
Mm-hmm.
All supplements are for sale, detailing regimens on how to take them, the benefits, and then again for what duration you're to take these supplements. I will say, there was a small section for cinnamon, black pepper, and coriander and turmeric, but there was no one there to give advice or help purchase those items.
Yeah, I mean, the way they talked about it, honestly, there would not be a sick person in the world if we all took these herbs the way that they say. Like, people with diabetes, boom, you don't have to use insulin anymore. Oh, you're losing your hair? Boom, you're not going to lose your hair anymore. You think you are prone, your family's prone to cancer? Take these things? Boom, you're never going to get cancer. Like,
maybe they're surviving longer.
Well, there's not enough hospitals to treat people, so hopefully, my God, I don't know.
Jonica was not a believer in Ayurvedic medicine.
No. Here's the deal. I totally believe in taking herbs and supplements, and I believe in acupuncture. Like, there are pros and cons to both Eastern and Western medicine. And I think that there are things with Chinese herbs that can help people. I'm not saying that all of it is a load of hogwash, but this to me, in the way that they were talking about, they literally said that two people got COVID.
That's right. That's right.
In Munnar because they take all of these herbs.
That's right. During COVID, only two people.
Bullshit.
Two people in Munnar.
Bullshit.
Everyone was fine after
anyway,
that.
Anyway, I digress. I wanted to learn about turmeric and how it was processed, but I didn't get to learn that. Anyway, the next day, we stopped by the Tea Museum on our way out of town. This consisted mostly of a video that ran you through the history of the tea industry in Kerala, most of which we had learned already from our very knowledgeable guide the day before on our hike. We had asked to go instead to a tea facility since we didn't get to see the process of herbs and, you know, making spices and stuff. We wanted to see the tea making process, but that request was ignored. Raleigh told us that we were better off learning the history.
Yeah. We're like, Murali, tomorrow we really want to go to this actual tea processing facility to see how it's made. And he was like, okay, okay.
Yep, no.
Just,
no. So anyway, after that, oh, the best part is after that. This just like goes again to like being a woman in this country. We had another 4-hour drive. So we were both like, all right, we're going to go to the bathroom before we get in the car and get going for this 4-hour drive. Mark goes to the bathroom. I go to the restroom. It's 11 o'clock. And the men are like, madam, we're the restroom is being cleaned.
Yeah, there were some guys in there cleaning.
And I was like, okay. So I just stood there and they look at me. They're like, madam, 30 minutes minimum. I was like, oh, okay. Because I will say, as you're driving through India, the amount of men that I saw pissing on the side of the road, I wouldn't have to work another day in my life. But God forbid a woman has to use the restroom, and the one place that she can use a restroom, the men are cleaning it for 30 minutes. There's not a public bathroom in that country that is cleaned for 30 minutes.
The best part was, is the tea museum operates like normal hours, like let's say like 9 to 5 or whatever, 8 to 4, and you guys chose 11 a.m. when it's most busy to clean this, of which you're going to spend 30 minutes, my ass, you're going to spend 30 minutes cleaning a bathroom. Yeah. And there was no, like, you can go to the men's next door. It was like, nope, you just, women,
madam,
hang on to it, madam.
You can't go to the bathroom, madam. So anyway, we made our way out of town. Morali did stop at a hotel so that I could use the restroom, which was very nice of him. So after our 4-hour drive, we arrived in Tikhady. The drive there was beautiful. It wound around all the different tea plantations. So that was, we had some nice scenery.
Mountainous, just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very pretty. We got to our next hotel, the Elephant Court, at about 2:30 in the afternoon. This is the nicest hotel that we stayed at on this tour. I was very excited. We could order a bottle of wine to the room.
Quite unusual.
Yeah. Because a quick note, wine, spirits, and beer are, they were hard to come by in the north. They are extremely hard to come by in Kerala. Some hotels offer it, but they tend to have very little, if any, and they also have very strict rules about when you can order it. Lunch was not included in our tour cost for this hotel, but we were starving, and we were also going to a show that evening, so we were like, we need to eat something. So had some lunch, went back to our room, and before leaving, there were all of a sudden tons of monkeys on our balcony. We were very close to a national park, and so therefore there were monkeys everywhere. It was kind of funny because you could hear the families next door to us screaming.
One of the monkeys had like a cracker in its hand.
Someone
so
fed it.
Clearly people fed these things.
Fed the monkeys, but a man came to our room when he was delivering the wine, and he was like, oh, the monkeys, be careful, do not go outside. And we're like, I'm not going outside. I've seen the videos of the monkey like biting people and like stealing their stuff.
Have you ever seen Outbreak, dude? Dustin Hoffman? I'm not going to lead our world into chaos.
Anyway, we went to a show that evening, which was incredible.
Oh, this was good.
Okay, how do you pronounce this?
Kathakali.
Oh, I know that. Kathakali show. This is a very popular Indian classical dance. And of course, it's only learned by men. But some of the men in this dance dress up like women.
But they're not the third gender.
They're not the third gender. No, they just dress up as women, because why would women ever be able to learn a dance? So this dance is all about mastering facial expressions. There are 10 of them, and each of them takes about a year to master. I mean, it's insane. Like, yeah, the muscles that they move in their face, like, at first you're like, a year to learn a facial expression, and then you see these things and you're like, well, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
We were told about this before we went to the show. They were like, there's going to be this traditional dance and it's all about facial movement. And I was like, how much movement can one do with a face that creates an entire evening of dance? That makes no sense to me.
But then it did.
They can twerk parts of their face. Not like eyebrows up and down. It was like
That was one thing.
But not even that. That was like a minor movement. Yeah. I can't describe it really.
No.
You have to look it up. Kathakali dance. Their face movements are insane.
Yeah. So there are also very elaborate costumes and jewelry and crazy face paint. These poor men we're just dripping in sweat because once again, you know, no air conditioning, just some fans. And like these guys had on
lead-based face paint. You could just see liquid coming through it,
but it didn't drip. Like it stayed lead-based. I know. And they had to have at least 5 layers of clothing sealing in all those juices. Like she was hot, not she, but you know, he was hot. So of course, we're put in the front row, and of course, I get called up on stage with 4 other young Indian women to, you know, be a part of the show and do the examples of the facial expressions and gestures.
This was fun.
Oh my God. So of course, one of the facial, as Farber said, one of the facial expressions is to raise your eyebrows. But, yeah, I get Botox, so my eyebrows don't raise so much. So I immediately just burst out laughing because I'm like, my eyebrows are not going to raise. And I think I said I have Botox, and not that anyone knew what that meant, but the performer just kind of looked at me and I realized that my forehead was not moving and moved to the next person.
He was so disappointed. He kept trying to make Jonica raise her eyebrows and she's like, I'm trying. And he just kept motioning it. No speaking. There was no words.
No, there was no speaking.
It was all through hand gestures and facial movement. And like, there's music playing in the background, and like, Jonica's trying, and I'm yelling, I'm like, not gonna work, not gonna happen.
So, we have some funny videos we'll post on our Instagram and the website of this, because it's too funny. And of course, like I said, like, why I always get called up on stage, like, I hate that more than anything. I think they just sense it. They know I don't want to be put up there. Anyway, super cool show, really, really intricate dance movements. It culminated with this dance between like a figure of the
they were fighting.
King,
yeah, there's
and,
two of them.
And she was like a mean goddess or something. It was a really, really cool show to see. We got back from the show kind of late, but we were still too full from having a late lunch. And even though dinner was included, we couldn't eat. We didn't want to.
Dashed.
We were also trying to figure out what the hell was going to happen the next day. This is probably one of the most frustrating points of the tour.
This is because Jonica didn't get a lot of instruction the night prior.
That's not true. We got conflicting information 4 different times. So we had requested a hike through the jungle with bamboo rafting at the Periyar National Park in hopes of seeing wild elephants. Still hadn't seen any wild elephants and other animals, but this hike and rafting were going to take about 6 hours. We also had a nice 6-hour drive ahead of us to our next destination. So finally, we figured out what the hell we were doing, what time we had to get up, ran to breakfast, literally had 15 minutes. I slammed a dosa in my face, and we were off. We set off for a hike. We had 3 park rangers with us. One had a gun because there are tigers and leopards in the park. A woman who was traveling by herself joined us. She was super cool. She was Syrian but grew up and lived in Berlin. She had been at a 10-day Ayurvedic retreat, which sounded insane and insanely expensive. But people travel from all over the world to go to these places in South India. It's big business.
It was crazy. She said like 2 massages a day.
Yeah. All your food, all your treatments, massages.
Counseling as far as like
counseling,
what you're trying to get out of your body.
Ailments. Yeah. It's a lot. And she was like, yeah, she was like, I was by far the youngest person. Most people were like in their 60s. They were mostly Americans. So I don't know, maybe people are just at their wit's end and wanting to get healed with like whatever they're dealing with, but this is obviously very popular and it's big business in South India.
Seemed like a very emotional experience.
So we didn't see any elephants. We heard a lot of langur monkeys, which were cool. They're not the macaque, the gray ones that you see everywhere. We did see some tiny owls in a tree, which were super cute. We did see macaque monkeys. And we saw a herd of guar, I'm going to say, is how you say it. And this is the world's biggest cow. So they're wild, they're massive, but they have tiny little short little legs. The bamboo rafting was kind of a bust. It's the dry season and it's super hot. It has not rained in forever. So the water was super low. We're all just super hot. 2 of the rangers, poor guys, were having to paddle us through this lake. They were dying. It was so hot. And all we saw were some water buffalo. And so we hiked back at a rapid pace because Murali had put the pressure on because we had that 6-hour drive ahead of us.
He didn't want to drive at night. That was it. We were like,
we get it,
Murali. You don't want to drive at night.
I get it. I didn't want him to drive at night either. Like, let's be real.
Driving both feet at night? No, thank you.
Oh, God. So after the fastest shower we've ever taken at our hotel, we were on our way once again, this time to Kalam.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Right, so we arrive at our hotel after our 6-hour drive in Kalam, and I begin to notice a pattern here, which became real obvious checking into each hotel that we'd visited in India. You get accosted immediately, and this is not physically harmed. No, this is verbally. You are bombarded with questions and requests to fill out documentation for your stay.
And once again, a process that is just usually pretty chill, could be pretty seamless. Everything's booked online, right? No, it becomes very complicated.
Yeah, and I get it. Like when you check in, you have to give some in the hotel your passport.
You give them the password. They scan the passport and boop, let me go.
Yeah, maybe there's some contact information like your name and what country you're coming from. Real
sure,
real basic. Real basic stuff, right? No, nothing's basic in India. And so you get out of this drive because you're driving like 5-6 hours everywhere to get somewhere. So you get there and you're like kind of like, okay, I'm a little bit like overwhelmed. But then you get in and like first, here comes the welcome drink. And this is usually juice or tea. Then you get some cookies that go with it, which is nice because in this case, we were starving. Then like as you're swallowing the cookies, you haven't even gotten them down yet. They immediately begin to ask you like, what time to go on your boat ride tomorrow? What tours have you planned? How long will you be staying with us? All things, again, like Jonica said, that should be in a computer. You guys have this information.
Yeah.
So you have all this like conversation. And it's not, this is not conversation that's like, where are you coming from? Like, we're happy that you're here. Like, please relax. It's everything but that. Not at all what we were thinking about after hiking for 6 hours. Also not having eaten since 7 a.m. that morning. It's now 5 o'clock. We're at the hotel. We're going a little hangry. And they're just like prodding and barrage of questions.
Yeah, we hiked for 6 hours. We were in the car for 6 hours. We hadn't eaten for almost for 10 hours.
They should have seen that on our face. We looked desperate.
I literally like this guy, and this is horrible, but like sometimes the accent is very hard to understand as well. So this guy is, and I have no context. So he's asking us about this boat ride that we have scheduled included in our package for tomorrow. The first thing that he asks, the very first thing, not hello, how are you, can I have your passports, is what time do you want the boat tour tomorrow? And I couldn't understand him. And I like look at Farber and Mark's like, I'm sorry, what? And we finally, he said it like 3 times and neither of us knew what he was saying. And I think because he...
Just remember this moment now.
Oh my God.
We're talking about
because he had such a thick accent and because we were so discombobulated and because my mind couldn't be further from thinking about the fucking boat tomorrow, Mark finally was like, I'm sorry. We've been in a car for 6 hours. We are starving. I don't know what you're asking us.
I felt terrible. I was like, I know you're speaking English. I know. But I can't get it. So please speak slowly.
It was so bad. I felt like such a dick. But I was just like, I was ready to lose it. Anyway. Not only that, we were starving, and then they told us they didn't start serving dinner until 7:30, and I almost started crying.
It was a lot, to say the least. So we waited out our time the next few hours exploring around the grounds of the hotel before we went to the restaurant, and it opened at 7:30. We were the first ones in the restaurant and in need of a cold beverage after that day. I was so excited to order that glass of wine.
Yeah, because we asked. Actually, that was like one of the first things I asked. I was like, do you guys have wine? And they were like, yes, we have wine at the restaurant. And I was like, thank God. So,
but not today, because today was Maharashtra Day.
Yeah.
India's Labor Day.
Yeah.
And that means no alcohol can be sold or consumed in public by anybody. We told them. We're like,
it's a dry day.
Yeah, we're like, we're not Hindu.
It's a dry day. Jonica was real pissed off, let's just say.
It was an early night. We'd been told that there were some lovely beaches in this part of India, and the next morning I took the opportunity to check some of them out. Varkala Beach, which is 7 miles, which turned into a 35-minute drive from Kollam. It is beautiful beach, right? It's at the base of this huge cliff, and there are tons of restaurants and shops and hotels that are all like sprung up, located on the top of the cliff. And I'm thinking to myself, why had we not been booked at this type of place? Like, we are in this like far backwater, and backwaters is actually an actual name for like these rivers. So don't think backwater like Louisiana Bayou. Like, backwaters of India. And we're the only people there, and there's nothing to do, and the restaurant doesn't serve dinner until 7:30. And I'm like, why are we not at this fucking beach? Mm-hmm. I would have really loved to have been at one of these hotels overlooking the beach. Anyway, Murali, our driver and guide, was nice enough to not only bring me to and from the beach, but also to the lone, and I believe to my heart of hearts, the one and only Indian government liquor store in Kerala. Mm-hmm. And this was also an experience in itself. So as discussed, due to the cultural and religious practices, liquor consumption is somewhat faux pas in the country. Yeah. Like, of course, tourists can drink, but it's not popular, nor is it common for locals to do so in public.
Yes, in public.
In public.
Let's make that real clear. Talk about the fact that you don't drink. That is a lie.
So let me get into the story. Okay. I'll explain. So the store was located in this like dark back alley, right? And where you have to pass through, it has an overpass like tunnel that you go through, and on both sides,
it's sketchy.
And on both sides of this tunnel, there's like people. I'd call them people who dabble in vice. So one side there was a woman selling lottery tickets, and then on the other side there's this group of young boys who were clearly trying to persuade an older man to buy them alcohol. And so I'm getting my first taste of like this is the rough side of the tracks of India. Like, these are the kind of people you stay away from. Bypassing these folks, I made my way into the liquor store, which was full of Indian people, I will say. Mm-hmm. It was full.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't all tourists. Not all gringos, huh?
Here, it was very easy to find government-issued spirits and local beer, which was ironically stored in a cooler, but that was not turned on for some reason. So, listen, I paid for our goods. I made my way back to the safety of Murali in our car. I then finished off the trip to the beachside community by stopping at a pharmacy, as India had once again caught up with Janaka.
Yep, that's why I didn't go to the beach that day. Janaka could not leave the hotel room once again.
All right, so we are now in our final days of our trip to southern India and departing from Kollam for a short drive, only 2.5 hours.
Yeah, quick little jaunt.
To Alleppey, where we plan to stay on a houseboat for that final night. Alleppey is referred to as the Venice of the East. It's a coastal town lying behind a sea barrier known as the backwaters, consisting of canals and lagoons, which are only reachable by boat. It's tropical, it's laid back, it's everything India's not. It's very different than anywhere else in the country that we experienced. Alleppey's main source of income, of course, is the overnight boat tours throughout the backwaters.
The houseboats.
Yeah, they're houseboats. It's a very sort of textbook tour here, where like whole families or large groups of friends rent these houseboats, and they have like 4 or 5 cabins in them.
And people party. Yeah. People were partying. Well, again, where did they get the booze to party?
Government. the tour, so you board this boat around noon or so, and the good part is that like lunch is provided, dinner is included, and then you get breakfast the next morning. Mm-hmm. This is all done via out of a small kitchen at the back of the boat where the staff also sleeps.
Yeah, we had 3 staff members on our boat for the two of us. There was like the one captain guy, there was the chef guy, and kind of the guy who did everything else. Yeah.
And it was nice because like the tour operator for this southern tour that we're on also organized a private tour in a small little fishing boat that we could take like with a local that brought us into the smaller canals, which sort of jet out or abut the main backwaters.
It kind of felt like the little canals in Venice Beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very similar to Venice in LA.
They're small. They're very small, and people have their houses that line the canals. Really beautiful.
Yeah, you actually get to see how the local people in the Kerala backwaters live.
Yep.
And there's people fishing. There's people bathing. Many of them are little farmers on small plots of land that they have through these canal areas. It's peaceful. It's a far cry from the modernized world. And we were thinking about it. There is electricity run to these small islands.
There's no cars.
There's no cars. We didn't see a single advertisement except for a Pepsi sign, which was announcing the name of like a small bodega, like convenience store thing. Yeah.
Every now and then people would have electric scooters or bikes to go up and down the sidewalks in front of the houses. But
that's it.
The only way that these people can get around really is by water taxi, essentially, and small ferry boats.
It's like we said, there's so many people in this country. There's literally everywhere you look, there's someone in India. And it was here in Aleppo that you actually like, this is sort of yet to be like touched. I wouldn't say it's undiscovered. There's space to breathe. Yeah. I will not say that we were the first people there. That's not the case.
No, not at all.
But it was like, oh, there's no convenience stores. There's no shopping centers. There's no cars. It was very, very peaceful.
Yes. But the boats have horns, and there was boat traffic. So
in the daytime, yes, yeah, yeah. Surprisingly, that night we were presented with dinner portions, which could have fed probably 5 to 6 adults.
You say surprising because that's not surprising. Just that's so much food.
Just the two of us.
Yep.
It was a bit uncomfortable to have the boat crew watching while we ate, but we agree this is probably more to ensure that we had everything we needed and less so about curiosity.
Yeah, sure.
And through some dialogue, we kind of got them to go away.
Yes.
Without saying go away. But it was like, yep, we're great. We got everything we need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, fans on. Yep, we're doing good.
See you later.
Eventually, the houseboats are moored up along these canals for the night so you can sort of sleep. They don't keep driving as you're through the night because it's not like it's an open ocean.
Well, we honestly didn't go very far either. I was shocked how...
Short distance
we went from the starting point.
And so one thing, this was another typical sort of India story. So we're done with dinner, and Jonica and I are like, the boat's moored up, and Jonica and I are sitting there playing some backgammon. So we're like midway through backgammon, and the crew all of a sudden, like, they're moving. Like, they start to jump and mobilize, and like,
there's a panic.
They're running back and forth to like where the boat's more tied up and like at the landing. And like, with no explanation, they moved the boat. The boat backed out, moved further down the river, and repeated the mooring process, like putting it back up.
We parked somewhere else.
So we're like, hey, what's going on? Is this not a good place to be? And they're like, no problem, sir. No problem, sir. Everything's okay. No explanation. And we're like, okay. And for this, I was at a loss. I couldn't explain it.
No. Spent the night on the boat. Both slept fairly well. Got back in the car with Murali. Drove, oh God, how long was that drive?
I don't know, maybe three hours. Yeah, not bad.
3 hours back to Kochi, where we were staying at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel, which is right by the airport, literally less than a 5-minute drive from the airport.
Yeah, kind of say, if you're flying anywhere in India, stay at an airport hotel because you never know. You may not get to that airport in time.
No, it takes so long to go such a short distance. Like, your Google Maps will never give you accurate timing for how long it'll take you to get from point A to point B. So I'm really glad that when we had early flights, we chose to stay really close to the airport all three times.
Specifically in India?
Yep.
Heed that warning.
There was a super nice gym at the hotel, so we worked out for a long time. We sat by the pool. It was just so nice to not be in a car and feeling safe. And I'm not going to lie to an American chain hotel. Can I just say that?
You can be jaded. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I just feel like all I talk about is the fact that like I couldn't get wine, but there was a bar at this hotel. So we decided to grab a drink before dinner. Of course, this process turned out to be complicated.
God, this was fun.
The bar was not in the restaurant.
Holy shit show.
But it was in a very bad version of an airport lounge upstairs.
It was 3 stories upstairs. It was at the top of the hotel.
Yeah, it was like hidden away. It was just this tiny airless room that just, I'm just going to say it stunk. It was just not, like, I was like, I don't want to sit in here.
Clearly it was not a place that people used.
It was all men sitting around having beers, probably just farting, watching cricket. Like, that's what was happening. So I was like, I'm not doing this. But we were like, hey, can we order a drink here and take it downstairs? And they're like, no, you have to go downstairs in order if you want to sit downstairs.
There's a bar in the restaurant there.
So we're like, okay. So we go downstairs. We're like, all right, the restaurant isn't really open yet. So we'll sit out here by the pool and have a drink outside. We order our drinks. 30 minutes goes by and our drinks have not come. Meanwhile, some other dude has come and he's ordered a beer and his beer has come within 10 minutes. So finally I'm like, Farber, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, please go talk to someone.
I was just trying to restrain you on your final night in India. Yeah. I thought, I was just like, dear, we've made it. We've made it this far. Just chill out.
But it just wouldn't make anything simple for me, even in those last moments.
So I go into the restaurant, on the main level. We've already been to the bar upstairs on the third floor to get one. So then I go in, I'm like, hey, you know, we ordered these drinks about 30 minutes ago. Do you think we can have them? Oh, sorry, you can't drink in here. That was the first thing he said to me. I was mm-hmm. like, no, I'm outside by the pool. Okay, sounds good. We'll get you your beer and a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. Comes back out 5-10 minutes later. I had to go up to the bar on the third floor to get it for you.
Yes.
I said, I was just there.
Yeah,
30 minutes ago.
I could have gotten this. And brought it out here. But no, of course not.
But then we go to eat dinner. So dinner, the hall opens for dinner.
Yep.
We go in and we're like, oh, okay, we order our food and we're so relieved. And Jonica's like, can I have a glass of wine? I said, yeah, I would really love one of these Kingfisher beers. My last night in India, really going to enjoy this. Oh, there's no drinking alcohol in the restaurant, sir.
And I was like, but we just had drinks right there. Like, you could literally see people having drinks out there.
Poolside, you can have them.
Poolside, where we were sitting, less than 5 feet away. But no, you're in the restaurant and you can't have a drink. Yep. Like, it makes no sense.
Jonica was almost broke. Almost broken in this circumstance. This was the last straw that Jonica had in India, where she was like, I'm going to lose it.
I was just like, why do you have to make things so complicated and make these stupid rules that make no sense for anybody? I'm not forcing the person next to me to drink. You can see people drinking outside. It's not like you're hidden away in some secret, dark, sinister room because you're drinking. I was at a loss myself with that one. By this point, I was over the complications and the needless hoops. Not only just with, like, you know, getting my glass of wine with dinner, but just like kind of India as a whole, let's just say. I did it. I feel like I was a lot better than I thought I was going to be, but I was ready to depart and have a couple of chill days on the beach in Sri Lanka where I could wear a swimsuit and have a drink with my dinner.
I will say, dear, I know you did India for me. I know you didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go, so I'm very happy that you compromised.
And I'm happy that I experienced it. And I did it. Check. I won't be back.
And that will lead us to our love and our learns, which we'll get into when we come back.
All right, Farber, what is your love of South India?
For me, the South was so much more calm and relaxed than our experience in the North. This is not side out of the realm of possibility, as things tend to be more chill as you get closer to the beach. But the people were more friendly. It was a lot less pushy, and like, didn't get the assault all the time, except for when you entered the hotel. That was the only time, one time you got assaulted. Mm-hmm. And there's just more focus on the natural beauty and less so on the history and the Hinduism.
Yep.
So that's my love.
Agree. All right. And your learn.
I'd say, honestly, we probably did not spend enough time in this country. Mm-hmm. I know.
I think I did.
I know you did. I know you spent enough time there. But we only got to experience these two regions, and we didn't know how difficult it would be to travel from one place to the other. So I know that you don't agree with me with my like views of India. And it was not your Shangri-La by any means. But personally, I think because of the size and the complicated nature of the country, more time is required to get a better understanding and a fuller understanding of the culture. Things are clearly very different from one region to another. That's mm-hmm. my learn, but I know I'll be doing it by myself. That's not a learn.
Yeah.
That's a no.
You and one of your man friends can go have some time. So maybe Brady wants to go back. You never know.
All right. Now, it's hard to find a love for Jonica, that's but let's hear, dear, what is your love of India, South India specifically?
Yes. So my love of South India is that it's similar to yours. It's all about the nature, which was a nice change after being in the cities in the North. I love that we got to experience two very different parts of this very diverse and complicated country. Mountains, crazy dense jungles, rivers, tea plantations. It was so lush and green compared with the arid desert of the north with, like, you know, its historic buildings and mosques and everything. We really got to experience, I think, two totally different sides of India.
All right. And your learn for Southern India.
Okay. So this is kind of a learn. It's not really like a new thing. I already knew this about myself, but I do not love 99.9% of long organized tours. A couple of things. Obviously, I dictated that this is how we are going to travel around India. So that's on me.
I was pissed about this too, to be honest. You know that.
I know.
I did not want to do India like this.
I know. But we didn't have a lot of time.
That's true. Yep.
And we waited until the last minute to figure this out.
And I wanted you to have some reassurances. Yes. Because the image we had of India was not pleasant for your intestinal tract.
No.
Okay.
But the disorganization and poor communication of this tour in the South really got to me. Because it was also a lot more expensive than the tour that we did in the North as well. So that just kind of amplified my annoyances. We were too rushed and spent too little time in nice places with things to do, such as Tikhady. That seemed like an amazing city. I would have loved to have gone out and walked around and explored the city. There was, like, actually things to do. There were cool shops. There was an elephant tiger sanctuary. And again, this was the best hotel that we stayed in. And we had too much time with nothing to do in places like Munnar and Kollam, where we were in the middle of nowhere and couldn't leave the hotel. There was nothing to see or do outside of the hotel. Plus, you end up being in the car more than you are actually doing and seeing things. Again, if we had more time to research and schedule, we could have made our own itinerary with a company. We still could have had a driver. We still could have had guides, but we could have made it our own. And I think that's the way to do it because, you know me, I love to plan a trip and I think I'm pretty damn good at it. Like, I kind of was like, I should run these tour companies and I will make them so much better. So, and any of the shortcomings and disappointments would have been my own fault instead of us being pissed about the money that we spent and feeling like it wasn't utilized properly. So it was also really interesting. This is like kind of another one that the South, although you say it's more like loosey-goosey, I think that the South seemed more conservative than the North. I assumed that because there was beach and there was Goa, which is like party central, that the South would be more chill. But I didn't feel like that was the case at all. So that kind of surprised me. I do have one more, but I shouldn't do three. And my third learn applies to some of the other countries that we've been to since then. So I'm going to hold it.
Oh, okay. Whew. That is a complicated and hard to understand country of India, broken down into two episodes. We hope you stuck around. We hope you enjoyed our thoughts, feelings, and emotions of our time spent there. Again, we have to reiterate that we have never experienced a place quite like India. I think if you ask anyone who's ever been there, they will say something similar. You cannot compare it to any other country. It's just, it's a one-off.
Yeah. Totally unique.
It's extremely, extremely unique, which makes it difficult for a lot of people to really understand why they like it, whereas others are extremely passionate about why they love it.
Yeah.
So people have said it's like a love it or hate it country, and I know there's a delta somewhere in there, and I think that's where we fall.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Traveling there was very difficult. It tested our patience several times, but talking about this like weeks later and looking back on the photos and, like, you know, writing the script and, like, talking about this, like, very strange place that we visit, I think it's, like, it's fair to say that we took away different things from it, but I think they're positive.
I think that it's one of those instances where when you look back, you have more positive feelings than you did in the moment, because the moment is so stressful and so tiring and so confusing and so complicated that the looking back feels much more rose-colored than I think it does in the moment.
That's probably the most accurate description of the country. If you ask anybody who has ever been there. I think that is the most clear way to describe it.
Oh, thanks. Is that a compliment?
I always give compliments. Yeah.
It's not true. Anyway.
All right, everybody. Yeah. Listen, that is India for you. We are currently in Oman having one hell of an experience in the desert.
We actually were in two other countries even before Oman. So we have
a lot.
Yeah, some other things to catch up on.
You can hear all about those countries in the coming episodes of Address Unknown. But for now, guys,
bye.